Well, boys and girls, it's time to go here in the bunker, here in the bunker in sunny, hot Southern California on October the 23rd, 2017. And if you don't have your donations in for your radio ticket, get them in here because this month's going to be over pretty soon. And then you're over another month, man. I gotta have that money, man. I'm trying to catch up to David Duke. Let's start off with a real wham jammer this morning. Or this afternoon, actually.
A lot of racism going on in the world right now. Who's more racist, black people or white people? Black people. You know why? Because we hate black people too. Everything white people don't like about black people really don't like about black people. There's some shit going on with black people right now. It's like a civil war going on with black people. And there's two sides. It's black people and there's niggas. And niggas have got to go. Every time black people want to have a good time, Indian ass niggas fuck it up. Can't do shit. Can't do shit without some Indian ass niggas fucking it up. Can't do nothing. Can't keep a disco open more than 3 weeks. Grand opening, grand closing. Can't go to a movie the first week it come out. Why? Because niggas are shooting at the screen. What kind of ignorant shit is that? Hey, that's a good movie. That's so good, I got to bust a cap in here. Hey, I love black people, but I hate niggas, boy. Oh, I hate niggas. Boy, I wish they let me join the Ku Klux Klan. Shit, I do a drive-by from here to Brooklyn. Tired of niggas, man. You can't have shit when you're around niggas. You can't have shit. You can't have no big screen TV. You can have it, but you better move it in at 3 in the morning. Painted white, hope niggas think it's a bassinet. Can't have shit in your house. Why? Because niggas will break in your house. Niggas will live next door to you, break in your house, and come over the next day and go, I heard you got robbed. You robbed me. You ain't hear shit because you was doing shit. Damn. Tired of niggas. Tired of niggas, man. Damn, man. You know what the worst thing about niggas? Niggas always want some credit for some shit they supposed to do. For some shit they just supposed to do. A nigga will brag about some shit a normal man just does. A nigga will say some shit like, I take care of my kids. You're supposed to, you dumb motherfucker. What are you talking about? What kind of ignorant shit is that? I ain't never been to jail. What, you want a cookie? You're not supposed to go to jail, you low expectation having motherfucker. Shit. You know the worst thing about niggas? The worst thing about niggas? Niggas love to not know. Nothing make a nigga happier than not knowing the answer to your question. Just ask a nigga a question. Any nigga. Hey, nigga, what's the capital of Zaire? I don't know that shit. Keeping it real. Niggas love to keep it real. Real. Niggas are breaking your house. You want to save your money? Put it in your books. Because niggas don't read. Just put the money in the books. Shit, books are like kryptonite to a nigga. In the book. No! No! Not a book! No! No! Tired of this shit, man. Your kids can't fucking play nowhere. Every year the space gets smaller. Okay, you go from that corner to that corner. Oh, you go from that gate to that gate. By the time motherfuckers 10, he's just hopping in a circle like that. shit, man. Tie, tie, tie. Fee, fi, fo, finger, boy, I hate a nigga. Boy, tired of this shit, man. Tired, man. Niggas is ignorant, love being ignorant, singing about ignorance. I heard some song the other day. It's the first of the month. Niggas are singing welfare carols. On the first day of welfare, my true love gave to me. I wish you a merry welfare and a happy food stamp. The fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on? Now they got some shit they're trying to get rid of welfare. You know, every time you see welfare in the news, they always show black people. Black people don't give a fuck about welfare. Niggas are shaking in their boots. Or they gonna take our shit. Shit, a black man that got two jobs, going to work every day, hangs a nigga on welfare. Like, nigga, get a job. I got two, you can't get one? I would give you laid ass for the mine, but if you fucked up and get laid off, they wouldn't have another nigga for 10 years. Shit, a black woman that got two kids, going to work every day, busting her ass, hates a bitch with nine kids getting a welfare. She's like, bitch, stop fucking. Stop fucking. Stop it. Put the dick down. Put it down. Get a job. Yes, you can get a job. And get a job holding dicks. Whatever you do, prepare to do it. Tired of this shit, man. Tired, tired, tired. It ain't all black people on welfare. Shit. White people on welfare, too. White people on welfare. But we can't give a fuck about them. We just got to do our own thing. We can't go, oh, they fucked up. We could be fucked up. That's ignorant. White people on, yeah. Because first of all, they try to make it look like, you know, there ain't even that many black people in the country, okay? Black people are 10% of the fucking population. Black people in New York, D.C., L.A., Chicago, Atlanta. Like, 10 places, okay? Black people in Minnesota? So all you find, the only black people in Minnesota is Prince and Kirby Puckett. Shit, the whole rest of the country, the other 40 states, is filled up with broke-ass white people. Broke-ass, living in a trailer home, eating mayonnaise sandwiches, fucking their sister, listening to John Cougar Mellencamp records. Fuck out of here, man. And they need your help. Nah, man. And I see some black people looking at me. Man, why you gotta say that? Why you gotta say that? It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking shit, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas. Shit. Ted Kamele never took shit from me. Niggas have. Shit, you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, shit, Mike Wallace, run! Fuck out of here, man! Tired of this shit. Tired, tired, tired of this shit.
It's a sad state of affairs when you can get more truth out of a black person than you can get out of almost any whites. Let's hear a little bit from a populist about robots. How about that?
There's a robot in your future. But not one of those cute little labor-saving automatons like a Roomba vacuum cleaner. Far from saving you from doing extra labor, this new wave of robots is being brought into your workplace to rescue corporate bosses from paying you to work for them. Oh, you might think, not my workplace, for I'm not a factory worker. I've got a college degree and I work with my brain. So no contraption doing rote mechanical tasks can take my job. But wait, these are thinking machines implanted with complex neural networks and super-fast algorithmic computers that operate in sync, functioning much like the cluster of specialized cells in the human brain. These brainy bots have a fast-evolving ability to watch, listen, and learn on their own, even able to produce and teach other robots. Not only are they displacing flesh-and-blood workers on factory assembly lines, but millions of them are now being moved into professional, managerial, creative, and other occupations previously assumed to be the secure domains of higher-educated, higher-paid people, maybe even you. To be clear, it's not robots that are taking our jobs, but corporate profiteers. They're creating a robot economy in order to displace you and me with inexpensive machines that don't demand higher wages or health care, don't take sick days or vacations, and don't organize unions, file lawsuits, or vote for pro-worker politicians. It's to be a plutocratic utopia designed by and for the corporate elite, and they're pushing it hard and fast, hoping we the people don't wake up until it's too late. This is Jim Hightower saying, robots are not our enemy. The corporate bosses, bankers, and BSers who own robots are the ones doing this to us. And now,
I hope all you boys and girls realize that the dream of the capitalists has always been to get rid of all the workers, to have a dream society. And robots may allow them to do that, to where there is no jobs for the people at all. Then what are they going to do with them? They're going to have to get rid of them some way. Think about it. Well, let's go back to 1998 and see what was happening with war in 1998.
Aryan Resistance, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. The date is April 25th, 1998. War and its association of workers for the ideal of racial separation and the protection and the advancement of the white Euro-American people who care for their race. War is concerned with both race and environment. Environmental pollution and racial pollution are the twin evils that confront us. War is not a right or a left-wing association. War uses logic and evidence, not religious myths, as our guide. War International website is www.resist.com. War email is warmetzger@thegrid.net. War San Francisco is 415-979-5806. These numbers are independently supported by local associates. Subscribe to War News, that's $30 USA, $40 in Canada, and $50 in other offshore nations. Cash or money orders in U.S. dollars, please, for the offshore subscriptions. Send $3 cash or U.S. postal money order for a sample copy of War News tabloid. Cash, checks, Visa, MasterCard, that's okay. Use U.S. postal money orders when possible, please. Make them out to John Metzger. A copy of this message is available for a $10 for 2 weeks postal money order. That's 2 weeks messages for $10. Specify dates. All war videotapes are available in audio also at $10 each, or $8 for all Race and Reason soundtracks. All videos are available in PAL for European systems. Just add $20 per 60-minute tape U.S. funds. That's what it cost us, boys and girls. Sorry. Always let War know in writing before the last week of the month if you move. You will not receive your paper or your goods if you don't. The post office does not forward bulk or book rate mail. Now it's news time. This week, James Earl Ray died after a long illness. War credits Ray with the successful assassination of Martin King, Martin Luther King, acting alone or with very little help. The lucrative conspiracy industry makes tens of millions grinding out books, movies, and speakers, milking this cash cow. It bothers many people that one person with little funding and a few brains could very simply take out almost anyone they choose, provided they take their time and not reveal their plans to anyone. In years past, I have on many occasions, just for my own curiosity, placed myself in spots you would not think possible if professional security was in place. The fact is, most security is wasted money when up against a committed, intelligent individual who is not bent on escaping the scene. A lot of excellent information is to be found in the book, The Making of an Assassin, by George McMillan. After that, read Hunter and the Exploits of Joseph Paul Franklin, who single-handedly eliminated perhaps over 40 people he considered enemies of the race. The question, however, might be, what overall good did killing King King do the cause? At the time, King was losing ground fast, and the black militants, like Malcolm X and so forth, were gaining ground. I feel we would have been much better off today to have encouraged black nationalists and separatists of that day rather than galvanize the public around this loser King thing. Be that as it may, I salute Brother Ray for his lone wolf approach to the art of the possible. Thanks to those who email war news flashes, we may include on our weekly update the following is a few items provided by an associate. How about some funny racial news stories, boys and girls? Send them to us by email. Survey finds Holocaust ignorance. According to a survey done by the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, 1 in 5 Americans do not know or weren't sure if the Jews were killed in the Holocaust or that it happened in World War II. This is a surprise considering the Sheenies hit us over the head every day about their stupid history. You can probably get more survey information from their worthless website. Anti-Semitic websites increase. In a report entitled Anti-Semitism Worldwide, the number of anti-Semitic internet sites doubled and intensified in 1997. This report was put together by Tel Aviv University's Sivan Roth Institute for the Study of Contemporary Anti-Semitism and Racism, the World Kite Congress, and the Anti-Defecation League. U.S. worries over Nazis in Moscow. The U.S. Embassy urged Americans in Moscow to exercise caution after 2 young gook women were severely beaten. Also, some Taiwanese students and a dothead from Air India have also been attacked. The embassy especially cautioned Americans of African and Asian origins to exercise appropriate caution. You can also buy National Socialist music and Mein Kampf on the streets of Moscow, but not in the U.S. Okay, at Afrikaner schools, a backlash against the blacks. This is great. Negro students were reportedly beaten by Afrikaner parents with whips and sticks. In the weeks that followed, white students also beat the Kaffirs in the schoolyard. When black and white police officers were called in, they started beating each other up. Finally, the South African army had to be called in. In a related story, a Negro kid was shot in the head by an angry white settler in South Africa who had had his house broken into many times in days before. Boy, South Africa is a real Tupperware party, huh? I love it. Racism shakes Detroit hospital. The city council denounced the hospital's handling of a nurse who asked Negro workers to avoid a senile patient who feared them. The incident started when the nursing supervisor, obeying the wishes of the patient's family, wrote a note which said, "Until further notice, please assign the patient to white staff members. This is per family request in an attempt to decrease his confusion and agitation." Per her sister, this patient was attacked by a black man some years ago, and they aren't sure what to do, unquote. Of course, the head kike in Detroit, Dan Cohen, said that, quote, "the patient should have been told the despicable request was out of the question," unquote. So let me see. If an Orthodox Kike requested that only Kikes tend to his needs, and that no Negro or whomever was allowed to come near him, then that wouldn't be racist, of course. Thanks for the info. From another associate comes this. Walker, Texas Ranger, the TV show, was about a group of Nazi warriors who had the habit of shooting black Bible students. One black child was on his way to church after giving homeless people food. He was shot at the steps of the church by the brown shirts. I guessed racists would shoot him before they even showed them for the first time. This was the most shameless PC show I've seen in some time. And to think, I was looking forward to watching Walker, Texas Ranger. I've seen Chuck Norris's Island Home when I was in St. Martin, this writer says, a caller. I can't believe what some people will do for money. But then again, he is just a Hollywood actor and nothing more. He made a movie where he fought racists also. Yeah, I saw that one. Chuck Norris is one of the biggest race mixers and anti-Aryans in Hollywood. He has adopted some non-white kids also. Anyone for a trip to St. Martin? How do you think all that kicking around and throwing your arms would do against a .45 automatic? Thursday, April 23, 1998, Surrey, British Columbia. Four men and a youth accused of what police described as a racially motivated killing of an elderly caretaker at a local Sikh temple stood quietly in the dock yesterday during their first court appearances on charges of second-degree murder. The accused did not appear to have any family or friends in the crowd. Nirmal Singh Gill, 65, was bludgeoned to death on January 4th in the parking lot of the Guru Nanak Sikh Temple in Vancouver, suburb of Surrey. Boy, is he a long way from home. The temple caretaker, who had been in Canada only 5 years, had just opened the gate for early morning worshippers and was turning back. Inane, he was attacked. RCMP, the Royal Canadian Moronic Pigs, allegations that the accused were members of the local white separatist group and that the killing might have been motivated by racial hatred of being invaded by aliens is fueling speculation about the need to stop immigration of MUDs in Canada. Quote, white activists are moving to British Columbia to escape Eastern Canadian Jewish persecution and to carry on their white separatist ideas. Several other representatives of the anti-pro-white organizations are focusing on the government's refusal so far to shut down an internet service provider operating out of Oliver, British Columbia. The company's computer service hosts to a number of websites espousing the white separatist ideas. Restricting internet access would be one more nail in the coffin of pro-white organizations, the World Sikh Organization of Canada said yesterday. Well, let's send the Sikhs back to Sikhdom where the Indians can work them over a little bit. Mr. Dutton, speaking for this outfit, as well as several members of the Sikh community, called for tougher laws to deal with pro-white activity, such as making possession of pro-white literature a crime. Surrey Mayor Doug McCallum later endorsed the suggestion and said he would press for toughening the hate whitey laws at meetings of the mayors this week. The city of Surrey, where almost half the 350,000 residents are members of a non-white race, get that, in Canada, in Surrey, in British Columbia, half of the 350,000 residents are non-white, has a race brainwash course going in the schools as part of the community services. However, sources of pro-white ideas, including the internet, are proliferating, Mr. Gill said. The Canadian Congress issued a call for new community solidarity against free speech and especially white free speech in Canada. White separatist leader Wolfgang Droege says 100 members of the Heritage Front live in B.C., most of them in Surrey. Surrey tends to be the most fertile recruiting ground because that is where people are closest to other racial groups. Droege said that in Toronto yesterday, five white supremacists or separatists who RCMP say are affiliated with the Heritage Front, are accused of the murder of the Sikh temple caretaker. He said groups with similar beliefs tend to get together to exchange ideas, and some groups are more violent than others. Drogi says the Heritage Front is by far the largest racial group in Canada. Drogi, the former leader of the Ku Klux Klan in BC, was jailed in the U.S. in the 80s for the planned invasion of Dominica to create a white homeland. Today, he said, he is considered by the Canadian Security Intelligence Service to be a threat to the security of Canada. Drogi warns there is more violence to come. No people, no diverse people, have lived side by side without violence, he said. It will happen on a much greater scale, so says Drogi. April 23rd. Wrist slap for a man. Court brawl. A man with 8 prior assault convictions who was involved in a courthouse attack on a CFTO reporter has been given a 1-year conditional sentence. I get a punch in the face and he gets a slap on the wrist, the newsman Larry John Lancaster said yesterday. Judge Mary Hogan admitted she went out on a limb with her decision and granted she won't win any popularity contest with it, but she noted there still might be a glimmer of hope for Quinn McFarland's rehabilitation. McFarland, 19, of Hammersmith Avenue, pleaded guilty to assault causing bodily harm in the March 1997 attack on Lancaster outside the University Avenue courthouse. Lancaster was punched in the head and the face and had his nose broke. A melee broke out when a CFDO cameraman was attacked while videotaping a friend of McFarland's. Lancaster was an anti-Aryan bystander who intervened. Court heard McFarland is a member of a white separatist group, but Hogan found the attack was not a hate crime. Hogan ordered McFarland to take anger and love thy local pro-Jew news reporter counseling. Meet with Canadian Sheeny Congress spokesman Bernie Farber for counseling. Have no contact with members of white separatist groups and do 100 hours of Negro service work. From another associate comes the following. I recently watched the Jew Larry King talk show, and there was a Jewish Laura Schlesinger about the great TV and radio shows, which include the Jerry Steinfeld, the Jew Springer, the Jew Stern. Jews, true to their nature, are beginning to flaunt themselves in front of the goyim, many of whom wish they were Jews. Dr. Laura is currently pushing a book on circumcision, which can be obtained by calling 1-800-6-JEWISH. Those stupid goyim never learn. Male circumcision is a mutilation of a boy's penis without his consent. That makes it immoral. Years ago, the Jews decided that since they couldn't hide in a shower, that they would sell the goyim on the beneficial aspects of getting their son's pecker bob. The goyim bought the whole bit of schlock, and today most of our young men wear the scars of this mutilation. Female circumcision is performed in many parts of the world, and out of a sense of equality, I propose that American women get in on this also. Guess what? The Negroes have topped the Jews this time in anti-German information. It seems in 1904 in Southwest Africa, the Germans ran the show. Lieutenant Lothar von Trotha was in charge at the time. As Negroes do now and then, they had a riot and an uprising for some reason. After the uprising, Lieutenant von Trotha put out an extermination order against any Negro that went nuts, as they so often do. Well, as usual, the story is being reworked into a PC story that is sweeping the nation. In other words, these poor Negroes were ahead of the Jews on the German extermination list, thus deserving more sympathy than the Jews, and you guessed it, more money from Whitey. The U.S. Post Office now has a diversity enhancement newsletter dedicated to serving every interest except the white postal worker. Woe be it to any postal worker who doesn't toe the line on the beauty of non-whites, and how thrilled white postal workers should be to be gradually phased out altogether. In the Iron Heel's struggle against homegrown freedom fighters, Professor Glenn Reynolds, militia expert, was quoted as saying, quote, "The real danger is that informants become provocateurs," unquote. This, of course, is what yours truly has said for years, that informants cause more violence than would happen naturally. The question should be, are they helping us or hurting us? Ruthless logic says They may be helping us in the long run in an off-the-wall way. Think about it. A new website is dedicated to the National Forum for People's Differences. www.yforu.com. They say it's more healthy for people to talk more honestly about racial differences. There you go, boys and girls. Climb on that one. Pick up the paperback entitled The Hammer and the Cross. It's in the science fiction section of your big bookstores. Author Harry Harrison, I am told. It's a hot book. And curious how it escapes the Sheeny censors. Give us a report on that one. A new bill is being proposed to Congress. It's called the Van Eck Bill for Religious Accountability. Whoa! It would adhere to proof in advertising. Religious groups would be required to prove the truth of their doctrines before they can make claims such as eternal life and so on. Those unable to prove the truth of their doctrines would be subject to fraud prosecution. The Federal Trade Commission would have jurisdiction. For a copy of that bill, send a stamped self-addressed envelope to WAR. A caller says, can lone wolves learn from serial killers? You can learn something from about anyone. Serial killers are more often than not white. They are extremely hard to detect due to the ways they operate. Usually, a serial killer operates alone and is a loner by nature. They are usually of above average IQ and even genius levels at times. Only a fraction are ever caught. So the answer that will drive the right wingers up the wall is yes, one can learn a lot from the study of serial killers. Most people think about killing but do not have the will. The serial killer has adapted the will and even desire to kill, which catapults him or her into a primordial existence in their own world. A few years ago, I warned you that the same tactics used on the Metzgers in Portland would become common in a few years. That prediction has come true, as all kinds of groups are being sued civilly for non-criminal activities. Just another roundabout way to muzzle you or try to. Now the anti-abortionists have felt the sting as they lose a nationwide civil racketeering case. They were hit with an $85 million judgment recently. Of course, none of these people were concerned when the precedent case in Portland went down. Now they will all pay the piper. These tactics are even being used in the right wing, as the King's Sleazemeister and phony Willis Carto, owner of the right wing Spotlight, along with his Jew sidekick Mark Lane, filed civil RICO charges against the IHR in Costa Mesa, California. Even as the IHR attempts to retrieve a judgment of millions of dollars, Willis Carto swiped from the Gene Farrell Edison estate. Oh well, that's show-up business. How much are the Johnny Appleseed so I can start my planting? Well, they're $10 a thousand. These seeds are the best and guaranteed to bring forth a great crop in rain or shine. Did Hitler change his views on the Slavs? I'm told that when he toured some of the prisoner of war camps in the East, he commented on how he didn't realize the number of good racial specimens that were in the Slav population. Why do you talk about the Black South when we are drowning in the brown in the Southwest? Because I have been talking about the brown invasion since before many of you were born. We have big problems everywhere in the country. Cut off the water to the Southwest and the invasion is cut off in its tracks. Think about it. When I talk about candidates that water down their views on race, mainly in the right, remember, Mahan of Tulsa received 6% for mayor running as a white separatist and racist. He would have at least doubled that vote if he had filed at the very last minute. Would Tom Metzger own a non-purebred dog? Yes, and I've owned several. Most working people can't really afford to spend hundreds of dollars on purebred dogs. All of mine were bailed out of jail. Yeah, I went to jail and got them at the local pound. What's the status of Don Black? Black has been around a long time and is quite active. When I broke with Duke, he stayed on. I think that road is much more conservative and right-wing than mine. It's actually two different methods of struggle, traveling in parallel, but ideologically quite a bit different in operation. One reactionary, one revolutionary in nature. Ending with the joke of the day from the Jew Felix, who calls in here all the time. Felix says, the determination of a great leader has to do with whether he or she leads a democracy or not. Talk about an oversimplification. This is the end of our April 25th, 1998 Ariant Update. See you next week, and remember, join the Johnny Appleseed Brigade. Do you want to seed your community? War has a good method. For a sample, send a self-addressed envelope, stamped, or $10, $1,000, Box 65, Fallbrook, California.
I'm not going to drop it. We're going to go ahead with it, Fred, no matter what you say. Commentary. Following the concept that worse is better for now, this has been a great week. As usual, if you are a conservative or phony liberal, you must be sobbing.
Let it go.
Yeah, let it go. That's all right. You're right, Fred. We at war are thrilled with the increasing stupidity of the Iron Heel. That's the problem when you create an artificial being like a Jew Moloch or an Aryan Frankenstein. You refer to it as bureaucracy, or better yet, the Iron Heel. Systems that base all their efforts on pure greed and raw power always commit suicide. Napoleon once commented to his field commanders that if your enemy is making a fatal error on the battlefield, do not be rude and interrupt him.
Drop it.
That's right. I know it is difficult to totally extract yourself from the nationalist concept, but you can't go home. It's not there anymore. We now exist in a no man's land, between times. We have no control over major events. We are observers looking in. To be a participant at this time is to show your ignorance. Nothing in our meager power at this juncture will change significantly the immediate future. This is a time to clear the tables, to clear your mind of all the day-to-day political trash, and think revolution, not putting band-aids on a dying body. Let the right wing and the conservatives play that old worn-out 78 RPM record. For those that expect a conventional war, you're way off course. For those foolish right-wingers who expect to elect racists without the raw power to back it up, forget it. Sinn Féin without the IRA? What a joke! Get real. You get no respect because you do not deserve it. You must change your way of thinking. The 21st century will be the arena of mind wars. The power of the mind will rule as the great weapon of the 21st century. Tom Metzger speaking. Our associates inform us that Michael Dell of Dell Computers is a Jew after all. Thanks a lot for letting us know. Question, do you have relations in your family that disagree with your racist ideas? We all have relatives that do not agree with us at some point or another. I have my share, but I have little problems with my close-in family. When it happens, one must simply develop an extended family of like-minded people. To spend your life trying to convince someone of the obvious is a waste of time. Many people go through the family thing because they feel obligated to do so. It's ridiculous to force any relationship that is not productive. In the old days, people were bound together much out of economic need in an agricultural society. That is in the past, although it's great if your close blood can work as a team, but surely not mandatory in the present world. Are the Western Hammer skinheads still around? I don't know, but I know Hammer skins as a whole are still around, but I cannot verify each segment of their activity. Was booze introduced into this country by Jews?
Let it go.
Oh, no. We can't let it go. We got to talk about it. Come on.
Drop it.
I'm not going to drop it, Fred. We're going to talk about it. I know some people wish to even blame the weather on the Jews, but Aryans and all other races have distilled forms of alcohol for consumption for many centuries. Booze has been the drug of choice for white people for a long time. Yes, there are many Jews in the liquor trade because it is very profitable. Of course, the Brockmans came up with this blended whiskey idea way back in World War II. They made a fortune off that rot-gut blended whiskey. The percentage of alcoholism among Jews per capita is about the same as Aryans, and probably among blacks it's a much higher. It all goes to show you that you just have to do everything in moderation. Some people eat too much. They're too damn fat. Some people drink too much. They get drunk. Some people do a lot of things, too much. Moderation, boys and girls. Who was Ezra Pound? Ezra Pound was born in 1885 at Haley, Idaho. He was an educated man who became a well-known and respected poet of modern prose. At 20, he was a professor at Wabash College in Indiana. He then traveled to England and supported the populist social credit movement. Pound saw capitalist democracy as usurocracy, as he called it. Pound saw economic reform in the new fascist movement. Pound moved to Italy in 1925, where he made his home. He condemned the Yid influence in Europe. In his words, he called Jews bedbugs, rats, vermin, worms, plague, and disease incarnate. During the war, he was asked by the fascist government of Italy to express his views on the money question. He agreed to do so. The FCC in the United States recorded all these broadcasts. Pound made a few such broadcasts during the war. After the fall of the fascist government, he was seized and placed in a cage. Yes, a cage, like an animal, by the U.S. occupation forces. Passers-by threw stones and other garbage at him. The Jews influenced that kind, because the main thing Pound did was to condemn high-finance international Jewish money lending. He was then brought back to the U.S., where he was charged with treason. At this point, several intellectual friends interceded and caused him to beat the death penalty, but be placed in a mental institution. Several friends stuck with it, and finally had him freed. Pound died in 1972 in Venice, Italy. Similar to American citizen, yes, American citizen, born in Brooklyn, William Joyce, known by the English as Lord Haha, who was taken back to Britain from Germany after the war and was illegally hung. See, if you have the power, you can hang or kill or murder or bomb anyone, but you have to have a license to do it. That's called the Iron Heel. But what's new when you criticize Jew economic crimes and Aryan traitor economic crimes, too? Let's not forget those boys. Who is the last best president of the USA? I don't think any of them, since I feel each one, in one way or another, did much damage to our race and continue to damage our race.
Drop it!
Oh,
drop
I'm not going to drop it, Fred. That's important, and they're going to hear it.
Let it go.
No, I'm not going to let it go, Fred, whether they like it or not. Today is April 18th. Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. Revere rode through Massachusetts countryside, yelling, "The British are coming! The British are coming!" to rally the Minutemen. This took place on this day in 1775. On this day in 1861, Union soldiers burnt an armory at Harper's Ferry, Virginia, so the Confederates wouldn't get it. Well, what a bummer! Meanwhile, Robert E. Lee said, "Screw you." I mean, he said no thanks to President Lincoln's offer to head up the Union Army. Lee felt duty-bound to fight with the South. Yes, he did. Lincoln never forgave him and had Union soldiers buried on Lee's plantation as a final insult to Robert E. Lee, now that is called Arlington National Cemetery.
What is my bidding, my master?
Well, my bidding is, and at the moment, we're also celebrating we're commemorating the great San Francisco earthquake. It struck on this day in 1906. The quake collapsed hundreds of buildings. A lot of you people don't know that prior to the Civil War, General Grant, none other than General Grant, he was stationed in the South, way down in Mississippi, I believe it was, or Alabama, became friends with the Jews. He was also in San Francisco and had a lot of Jewish friends in San Francisco. A little bit of history there on the side that you might have not ever heard of. The Republic of Ireland formally declared itself independent from Britain on this day in 1949, so hooray for the Irish. It was on this day in 1980 that Rhodesia became the independent nigger nation of Zimbabwe. Now they have to import whites to keep that country going. It was lawyer Clarence Darrow was born on this day in 1857. Too late to help Joan of Arc, who was convicted of blasphemy to the church on this day in 1431. Lucrezia Borgia, the infamous, nasty, cool Italian duchess, was born this day in 1480. I would have liked to have known her. Got a few of her ideas. They could work today. So many people died on the Titanic that we sometimes forget that 711, that's an interesting number, 711, people were actually rescued and survived the nightmare. They arrived in New York on this day in 1912.
I'm not going to drop it.
That's a great story, very interesting. Not nearly as big a tragedy as all those German ships were trying to get the people who survived World War II out of the East, and thousands were torpedoed by the glorious Allies, and they died a lot more than on the Titanic. Pittsburgh was founded on this day in 1754, but its original name was Fort Duquesne. Now they might as well call it Fort Niggerville, the way it's turned out. They would all turn over in their grave if they could see it now. The movie Matrix has been criticized by some of our associates. On the surface, I agree. Negroes were made to appear as genius. Half-breeds as brave and loyal. Whites as unfeeling android types. But if you are capable of using the process I use at the movies, you get beyond the surface PC and come up with a wider and deeper message. I call my game transposition. The PC Negroness is ignored since your intellect tells you that in the majority of cases, these superhero and genius Negroes never existed, do not exist, and will never exist. It's almost like the writers and producers have a little secret joke that only a few of us can share with them. By rubbing our faces in it, they're laughing about it. The movie Matrix is slapping the sheeple in the face, and most do not even recognize that story is about their miserable existence, which they think is just peachy keen in this democratic society. This is a story of how runaway capitalism succeeded in destroying society as we have known it. In its place is an electronic Disneyland computerized version of what used to be. The Iron Heel is depicted in proper light. The sheeple are very content in their situation. Actually, very content in their make-believe world, and even when some realize their predicament, they choose to make believe to reality. They would rather deal with the Disneyland version. Question: are there prophets and messages givers in the bowels of Hollywood, grinding out stories behind the surface stories? Are there two meanings to most movies? When you go to such a movie, let your mind operate freely and mix and match by your own standards. Above all, look for the message behind the casual sheeple message.
Drop it.
I'm not, Fred, I'm not going to drop it. They need to hear this.
Let it go.
I'm not going to let it go, Fred. Question from Poland. Who killed Commander George Lincoln Rockwell? John Patler assassinated Rockwell. The commander had a habit of taking his own laundry to a local laundromat on the weekend. This pattern was a security mistake. As he exited his car, Patler shot him from hiding. Patler was arrested and served a few years in prison, sort of a slap on the wrist. He is rumored to be living in New York City and working for a Mideastern newspaper. This information is old and not confirmed. Also, was it the government that set it up? I do not think so. You must understand how much the right-wing conservatives hated Rockwell. Yes, they do. They don't tell you now what they said back then. We have the audio tapes to prove it, and we have the clippings to prove it in our files. Many of the right-wing leaders that are still around today did everything in their power to destroy Rockwell. No, not... Sure, the Jews did. Sure, the rats and the liberals and the commies did, and the capitalists and everybody else, but the right-wing were doing it too. Dr. Edward Fields of the newspaper Truth At Last traveled from one area of the country to the other vilifying Rockwell, even to the point of calling him a Jewish agent. Rockwell, a Jewish agent. Fields was also involved in having Rockwell attacked and beaten by his NSRP right-wing goons at a German-American picnic. Fields even boasted by publishing the picture of Rockwell's swollen and bloody face in his newspaper, The Thunderbolt. Oh, you never saw that, huh, all you skinheads that think Dr. Fields is so wonderful? Rockwell sued Fields finally for slander and was forced to settle out of court for a couple of $1,000s. Fields had to pay the commander several $1,000s. Fields then promised to put a retraction and apology in his newspaper, which he never really did. He only produced it in the issues that went out in his own state, but not around the country. And he promised to lay off, but continued his behind-the-scenes attack on Rockwell. The interesting twist to this story, which I think points the finger to a possible conspiracy, was the shady bisexual Dr. James K. Warner of the Sons of Liberty Publishing Company. Warner was working at the Arlington, Virginia NSWP office. Warner secretly hated Rockwell and was conspiring with Fields behind Rockwell's back. Warner, in a supreme act of treason, stole files and mailing lists from Rockwell and headed south to Marietta, Georgia, and Dr. Fields' headquarters. Fields gave Warner a top slot in his group for selling out Rockwell. Warner was a buddy of Patler. After the assassination of Rockwell, Warner had the gall to write a silly apology for Patler, and that Patler didn't kill Rockwell, and it was some other shady conspiracy with assailants unknown. My personal opinion is that Fields and Warner knew much more about that assassination than has ever surfaced. Yes, sirree.
Drop it.
I won't drop it. They need to know this. A lot of young people, new people in the struggle, don't know these things. Now you know why Fields and Warner and that cabal hate Tom Metzger.
Let it go.
Well, I'm not going to let it go, Fred. Later, Warner split with Fields and teamed up with David Duke. Even though Duke knew full well of Warner's betrayal of Rockwell and Warner's bisexual activities in North Hollywood, California. Oh, we're supposed to forget all that, huh? So goes much of the history of some of the right wing's most prized racist leaders. I'm glad I'm not a right winger anymore. Pardon me, I must go take a shower. The entire episode makes me feel dirty for having to dig it up and even talking about it again. I'll be called divisive. Divisive? Yes, from the right wing. I want to be totally divided from the right wing. You have that straight, boys? But still, hundreds, perhaps thousands of well-meaning white people are taken in by these swine. All I can say is it's too bad Bob Matthews did not last longer. The order had a definite plan for a few of these degenerates. Enough said. Yeah, right. Again from Poland. Is the leader of the Knights of Freedom, Bo Decker, really a Jew by the name of Greenbaum? His name is not Bo Decker, and his legal name escapes me at the moment. He claims he had a Jew stepfather. If that is the case, there is no problem. He couldn't help that. If, in fact, the name Greenbaum is on the birth certificate, it doesn't look good to me. One associate suggests a DNA test, which sounds good, but the cost may be prohibitive. In the meantime, I have not enough evidence to make a judgment in that case. I do know that several Jews have gained membership in Aryan groups through the years. Yes, they have. I know of quite a few of them. One committed suicide when he was exposed. Aryan Nations had a bar mitzvah Jew running their operation in Maryland until his death. They were shown evidence over and over several times, but the word was he was a big contributor. Does that mean all these groups can be bought off with money? I met him once at Robert Matthews' home in Michigan. No one could mistake this guy was a Jew. There are many self-hating Jews, or a Jew who wants nothing to do with Judaism out there. They are in the twilight zone of race politics. Until we are able to separate biological race, eugenics, and so on from primitive religious nonsense, confusion will rule the day. Who was Kathy Ainsworth? Kathy was a school teacher in Mississippi by day and racist freedom fighter by night. Kathy was and still is a shining beacon for white Aryan womanhood and female soldiers in this cause. Kathy was part of the White Knights of Mississippi hit squad designed to confront the fifth column that existed in the South in the early 60s behind enemy lines. On a mission with Tommy Terrence, she was assassinated by a combined force of local and state police and FBI agents. Terrence was badly wounded and would have been murdered on the spot if onlookers had not been at the scene. As usual, the two were betrayed by someone internally. Two brothers from Jackson, I know who they are. The assassination was set up by Jew businessmen from Jackson, Mississippi, who paid several thousand dollars for the hit. Yeah, they put up a hit bag of money, and the cops were nothing but straight-out hitmen. Several of these swine and their families still live in Jackson, Mississippi, and are still bragging about their deeds. I guess they feel safe since Bowers went to prison. Hopefully, Aryan justice will one day be served. Get my point? Kathy Ainsworth was pregnant at the time of her assassination. For those who wish a photo of this Aryan role model, send a couple of dollars and a self-addressed and stamped manila envelope. I will see you get a black and white photo of her to place in your home. In the meantime, I wish to see more and more Aryan women in leadership positions in this struggle. How come there are not very many, and how come there are none at the top? Good question, boys and girls. Several right-wing leaders in the racial movement are very chauvinistic and anti-female. Most anti-female sentiments that are rampant in the right wing comes from the Christians and the Jews. Of course, the Muslims are even worse. That's it for this week. Support...
Drop it.
I'm gonna...
Drop it.
Just give me a break. I'm gonna drop it, okay?
Let it go.
I'm gonna let it go. Just shut up, Fred. That's it for this week. Support our war programs by your purchases of our material listed...
Well, that was from 1999, April 1999. A lot of you people out there, younger people especially, don't know the intrigue that's gone on in the right wing versus the racial separatists. And I hope that fills you in quite a bit, because I was exposing a tremendous amount of treason back in the day, and I didn't get much thanks for it. Yeah, well, that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow on Tears Day.
One with mercy. He was dead before he hit the floor. Who is he?
Special Agent Terrence McGraw, counterintelligence unit out of Chicago, on special assignment for me.
You ever hear of the group?
No.
They're a right-wing extremist cell. They're not your usual anti-government fringe types. They've got deep pockets and influence. McGraw was getting close to revealing their leadership when he was taken out. The only member we've been able to get a visual on is this guy. Goes by the name of Radesky. McGraw had him pegged as the group's spotter in charge of recruitment. They can afford the best, mostly freelancers. Combination of ex-CIA and DOD operatives and hitmen.
So what do they want?
Same as any terrorist group. Power. To what end, we don't know. What we do know is, before McGraw was killed, he'd uncovered a plot to assassinate Senator Joseph Kaifman.
That's the guy running for president.
The one who will be president, if you believe the polls.
Why Kaifman?
McGraw couldn't provide any more details.
So what's your next move?
Nothing. I'm calling off the investigation. Come again?
That's right. As of today, the FBI is no longer investigating the group.
Okay, I don't get it.
You got a major conspiracy beef here, not to mention a dead agent, and what, you want to back off?
Officially, yes. Unofficially. There's a reason why McGraw's cover was blown. He was betrayed by someone in the Bureau.
What, like a mole?
I could be wrong. I hope I am. But if I'm not, there's no one I can trust anymore. Except you. I trust you because I knew your father.
It's been a black man.